Praise God. I want to go right straight to our text. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I did not confer with the praise team on the song selection, but you're going to see the Holy Spirit connection with this last song. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I want to highlight as I speak three different words, a word that occurs three times. Verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious." Can you say that word with me? Precious. "You also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as it is contained in the scriptures," and Peter quotes from Isaiah 26:18, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Let's hear that word again, precious. "And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe in him, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." I want to talk to you about the precious Lord, our precious Savior. It was a favorite word of Peter. In fact, Peter uses the word seven different times in his epistles, three right here in our text. There was a missionary that went to China working and laboring in the medical field, a medical missionary. And somebody, when they would come to him for treatment, he would always tell them the story of Jesus. One morning, an elderly woman came to the clinic, and when the doors opened, there she was, right in the very beginning of the day. And the missionary, as he was tending to her again, spoke to her about Jesus. And he can tell that she'd come from some distance because of the dust on her feet and her clothing. She'd come a long way. And he treated her as always and told her again about Jesus. And this is the description that the missionary gave of her acceptance or reception of Jesus. "As a rose opens to receive the rays of the noonday sun, so her heart opened to receive the Savior. Her tears made little rivulets down her dusty cheeks as she opened her heart to Jesus." Now, several weeks later, this same woman shows back up at the clinic, and this is what she says to the medical doctor missionary. "Sir, he has saved me, and I know he lives in my heart. He has made my life so happy, but sir, I have forgotten his name. Could you please tell me his name again?" And the missionary repeated over and over again the name Jesus, and every time he would say the name Jesus, she would echo it, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And that story prompted a song by Lila Long, and one of the stanzas reads this way: "There have been names that I love to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to the heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know." Can you lift your hands in praise to the Lord once again for the power of that matchless name, the name of Jesus? Again, there were several things that Peter mentioned as being precious to him. For example, in 1 Peter 1:7, he spoke of trials as being precious. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, as we've just sung, he spoke of the blood of Jesus being precious. Bring me down just a little more in this house. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 4, he spoke of our faith as being precious. And then he spoke of the promises of God as being precious. It was a very, very familiar word with Peter's writings. Certain things were precious to Peter. Now in our text, three times he refers to Jesus as being precious. Again in verse 4, "Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious." God chose Christ and considered Christ, that cornerstone, as precious. Again in verse 6, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And then again in verse 7, therefore to you who believe, he is precious. Peter was speaking of the preciousness of Jesus Christ. I want us to pray and ask the Lord to open our hearts, to catch a glimpse of how wonderful the Lord is, how sweet, how divine, how precious that Jesus is. Father, bless your word to every heart, to every soul. May each one feed upon the scripture. May it nourish them. May it make them to grow stronger in Jesus. We ask for your blessing and your grace in his precious name. Amen. It's like Peter was chiming out the words to the old song, Jesus is precious, he is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. Jesus is precious to me. How many of you remember that old hymn? The preciousness of Jesus. And in verse 3 he added, indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you have been saved, you recognize how gracious and how precious Jesus Christ is. Would you agree with that? The graciousness, the preciousness of our Lord and Savior. You know, I was praying this week, and we just finished a five-week series on discipleship, the demands of discipleship, and the messages were pretty demanding. So I prayed, Lord, I want to give them a little relief today and preach something that would just lift their spirit and strengthen them. And I want to do that by just lifting up our precious Lord in this place. Now, these words of Peter are full of feeling as well as meaning. He is filled with emotion as he uses this language. Now, what was it he was speaking about? Well, I believe he was talking about the preciousness of Jesus, because there is no rival to Jesus. How many would say amen? There's absolutely no rival to Jesus, no equal to our Lord, no rival. Charles Wesley put it in an old hymn, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell, in earth, and sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear to fly. There's nothing like the name of Jesus, amen? There's a name that's lifted up above all other names. God has given them a highly exalted name, high over all others. There is not a close rival to the name of Jesus. Amen? We can think of people in history that we revere and we deeply respect. Mentioned this a few weeks ago. You know, we always revere the name of Lincoln, don't we? The name of Abraham Lincoln is venerated. It's revered. It's held in highest esteem. Our first father of our nation, George Washington, the same could be said about him. And you can create a list of people whose names are highly respected, but none of them even begin to approach the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is a name above all other names. Now, there was a letter that was written. It was found. It was sent by Pibius Lentulus. He was writing to the Roman Senate during the time of the Roman Empire. And what it was a description of the observations of one who was acquainted with Jesus. Now, this is a Roman Senate leader, and these are the words that he penned that were found, that were unearthed. There appeared in these days a man of great virtue named Jesus Christ, who is yet among us, of the Gentiles, accepted for a prophet of truth. But his disciples call him the Son of God. He raiseth the dead and cureth all manner of diseases. In reproving, he is terrible. In admonishing, courteous and fair-spoken. Pleasant in conversation, mixed with gravity. It cannot be remembered that any have seen him laugh, but many have seen him weep. In proportion of body, most excellent. His hands and arms, delectable to behold. And speaking, very temperate, modest and wise. A man of singular beauty, surpassing the children of men. Now, that is quite a description of a Roman leader who himself was not a Christian, but he wrote about the observation of one who knew Jesus Christ, and he finalized it by saying he surpassed the children of men. And I would submit to you today that Jesus has always surpassed the children of men, head and shoulders above everyone else in all aspects. You think about Jesus. You think about his teaching and the impact it's made upon people's lives. Socrates taught for approximately 40 years. Plato for 50 years. Aristotle for 40 years. Yet Jesus Christ in simply 3 years, what he taught has had a greater impact than these three philosophers of antiquity who are held again in highest esteem, some of the greatest philosophers that have ever been mentioned. Their combined 130 years of teaching doesn't come close in its impact to the 3 years that Jesus Christ taught here on planet Earth. Amen? The power and the influence of Jesus. Has it ever dawned on you that Jesus painted no pictures? He never painted a picture. It's some of the finest paintings. You could look at Raphael and Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, and they all found their inspiration in Jesus Christ. Jesus never painted pictures, or he never wrote poetry. But you can read the great poets, Dante and Milton and a whole host of them. And again, they were inspired in their writings by Jesus. Jesus never composed a piece of music. But you can listen to the music of Haydn and Handel and Beethoven and Bach, and they all reflect the grandeur and the glory and the majesty of Jesus. Jesus never built a sanctuary, friends. But there are millions of churches and chapels and cathedrals all over the world down through the past 20 centuries that have been built as places of worship to him. Amen? Jesus never wrote a book, yet there have been hundreds of thousands of books that have been written about Jesus Christ, and the words of Jesus Christ have been translated in over 1,500 languages and dialects. Friends, Jesus never raised an army, but there have been literally tens upon tens of millions of people that have marched to his orders over the past 20 centuries. Hallelujah. You see Jesus making an impact in every arena, every sphere, every phase and facet, every component of human history. Can you give him praise? Hallelujah. There is no one that rivals Jesus Christ in the history of humanity. No one, praise God. And that's even more amazing when you look at the life of Jesus. Someone described Jesus' life with these words. Born of a lowly mother, without an earthly or human father, reared in meekness in a remote town of Nazareth, without credentials from the religious leaders of his day, with no accredited education from the schools of his day, hated by religious leaders, followed by the poor, the illiterate, and the downtrodden, called a son of the devil because of his own unorthodox birth, falsely accused of blasphemy by the hierarchy, mocked by the crowds which had pursued him in the days of his prosperity, his death demanded by an angry mob, the multitude condemned to die by crucifixion, buried in a borrowed tomb. You would have thought that when Jesus had come to the end of his life, that would have been the last that we have heard of him. But not so, amen? Not so, hallelujah! Because I'm telling you, throughout the centuries, his name has been lifted up above all other names. His life, his teachings, friends, his ethics have changed, have altered, transformed individuals, nations, continents down through the years. The power of the influence of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We understand that time itself is regulated by Jesus Christ. The calendar is based upon the birth of Christ. He affects all time and he affects all eternity. Because I'm telling you, friends, Jesus is precious. And the reason he is precious is there's no one that can rival him. Can you give him another praise? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. You never have to be ashamed of having aligned yourself with him, of having pledged your allegiance to him, of claiming to be a follower of him, because there's been no one like him. Hallelujah. He stands singularly above all other men that have lived upon the face of this planet. No rival to Jesus Christ. Ken Trivedi said this, 20 centuries have come and gone. All the armies that ever marched and all the navies that were ever called to see, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of the man as much as the life of one man, Jesus Christ. Again, he is without rival. Now, I find great pleasure in saying that. Amen? And I want the world to hear it, don't you? No rival. He's precious because there's no rival to Jesus. Precious because there is no redeemer but Jesus. No one can redeem us but Christ himself. Now, Peter is speaking in this passage of scripture we just read about the act of believing, which translates into a preciousness concerning Jesus. Let me read it again. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. You want me to tell you what that means in modern vernacular? You will never become red-faced and embarrassed for trusting Jesus. And you know why? He'll never leave egg on your face. You trust him and he will never disappoint you and he'll never let you down. Let me read it again. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, precious. Now, we referenced this scripture a moment ago in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our souls have not been redeemed or purchased by things that are so fickle and fading and fleeting as gold or silver. We're not bought with money, but we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus is precious like nothing else. We talk about precious metals. We talk about precious gems, things that are highly valued by humanity. But there is no commodity that has been ever so precious as the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus alone has the power to erase guilt from a conscience, to take our guilt, the most shameful thoughts and words and actions and deeds, and purge them from our very consciences. Hallelujah. I know it's a terrible thing to be laden down with guilt, isn't it? Guilt's a pretty rough thing to deal with, isn't it? Now, let me ask, how many of you ever felt guilty? Let me see your hands. The rest of you are going to feel guilty for lying. We all know what guilt feels. But you picture in your mind the combined guilt of the entire human race is covered by the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me hear it ring. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think that's a place for another good hand clap before the Lord. Hallelujah for the blood of Christ. There was a gentleman who traveled some distance to interview a distinguished scholar. And upon arrival, he was ushered into the study of this great scholar. And when he entered the room, the visitor asked this. He said, quote, "Doctor, I've come a long way to ask you just one question. I observe that the walls of your room are filled with books. This room is literally lined with them from ceiling to the floor. I suppose you've read all them. I know you've written many books. You have traveled the world over. You have held intimate conversation with the world's wisest, its leaders of thought, its creators of opinion. Tell me, if you will, after the years you spent in study, out of all the things you've learned, what is the one thing best worth knowing?" And when he asked that question, the scholar's face turned flush with emotion. And he placed his hand gently on the hands of this traveler, and he said to him simply this: "My dear sir, out of all the things that I've learned, there are only two lessons best worth knowing. The first is, I am a great sinner. The second is, Jesus is a greater Savior." Hallelujah. His ability to save is greater than the worst of our sins. Amen. Aren't you glad for his power to reach down to the lowest depths and pull us up out of that quagmire of sin, out of the cesspool of sin? Thank God you cannot plummet so far into the depths of sin that Jesus can't reach down and pull you out in the power of his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that precious, precious Savior. There's another story told of a a poor couple. They had gotten saved through the ministry of the Salvation Army. And I mean, they were a live wire on fire for Jesus. And they loved the Lord, were so happy. They had a revival at the Salvation Army Church. And when the husband came home after one of the meetings, he seemed to be a little depressed. And his wife asked him what was wrong. And this is what he said. Everyone at the meeting has a coat. You know, the Salvation Army leaders all wear jackets and coats. Everyone in the meeting had a coat with nice letters on it. I wish I had a coat like that. Now, this was a couple. Neither one of them could read or write. They were illiterate. But he was just impressed by those coats with letters all over them. His wife said, I believe I could do something about that. I'll put some letters on your coat for you. And since she couldn't read or write, she wondered what in the world what she was going to do. So what she did is looked out the window of the house across the street, and she saw a sign on a store across the street. And so she just simply copied the letters from that sign, and she sewed them into his jacket. And the next night, when the husband came back from the revival service, she asked, how did everyone like the letters on your coat? He said, they said I had the best coat of all of them. What the wife had done is she sewed the letters on the coat that simply read, under new management. But isn't that awesome, praise God? We come to Jesus and we get our life under new management. And he makes a new creature, a new creation out of us. Something altogether brand spanking new. Hallelujah. Under his lordship, under his kingship, under his management, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is precious, friends, because he's redeemed us from our sins, and he's made new creatures out of us. Somebody asked a string of questions, and I want to repeat them for you here. Numerous questions. Just let me rattle them off for you. What shall it profit a man if he be a great artist and not know Jesus, the one altogether lovely? What profit it would be to a man who is a great architect and not know Jesus, the chief cornerstone? What shall it profit a man if he be a great baker and not know Jesus, the living bread? What shall it profit if a man be a great banker and not know Jesus, the priceless possession? What shall it profit a man if he be the greatest biologist and not know Jesus, the life? What shall it profit a man if he be a great builder and not know Jesus, the sure foundation? What shall it profit a man if he be a great carpenter and not know Jesus, the door? What shall it profit a man if he be a great doctor and know not Jesus, the great physician? What shall it profit a man if he be a great educator and not know Jesus, the teacher? What shall it profit a man if he be a great farmer and not know Jesus, the Lord of the harvest? What shall it profit a man if he be a great florist and not know Jesus, the Rose of Sharon? What shall it profit a man if he be a great geologist and not know Jesus, the Rock of Ages? What shall it profit a man if he be a great astronomer and not know Jesus, the bright and morning star? What shall it profit a man if he be a great jeweler and not know Jesus, the pearl of great price? What shall it profit a man if he be a great lawyer and not know Jesus, the advocate? What shall it profit a man if he be a great sculptor and not know Jesus, the living stone? What shall it profit a man if he be a great student and not know Jesus, incarnate truth? What shall it profit a man if he be a great philanthropist and not know Jesus, the unspeakable gift? I'm telling you, Jesus factors into every phase, every facet, and every component of human existence. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad there's no rival to Jesus? Aren't you glad he's precious because there's no Savior beside Jesus? He is our Lord. He is our Savior. How many can say today he's your everything? He's your all. Amen? Hallelujah. I've concluded I don't need Jesus plus anything. Because if I've got Jesus, I've got everything. Amen? I've got everything, praise God. Jesus is precious. That word was precious to Peter. And again, he used it seven different times in his these two epistles that he wrote from. Three times in our text. He's precious, friends. Lastly, because there's no replacement for Jesus. There's absolutely no replacement for our Lord. Peter said that the Lord was precious. The word in the text appears to be a noun, but it is actually an adjective. In other words, we can read the verse like this. Therefore, to you who believe, he is preciousness. I like that, don't you? to you who really believe, he is preciousness. It's an adjective. Hallelujah. And he's precious, friends. And the word itself carries the idea, and this is a definition of it, exceptional distinction to the extent that if removed, replacement is an absolute impossibility. In other words, he is so precious that he is irreplaceable. Jesus is absolutely irreplaceable. You could do it without a lot of things. There are a lot of things that could be taken away and replaced. You can wreck a car, but you can what? You can replace it. Isn't that right? Your house can burn down, but you can do what? You can replace it. A friend could forsake you, but you can go out and make more friends. Isn't that right? I mean, you can lose a job, but you can go out and get another job. You can even replace certain body parts, if you please, but you cannot replace Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? Well, let me borrow from, this is the very first song I've ever played on an instrument. It's probably 5 years old. And I had a little bitty tiny organ in my bedroom, just a little organ. I never made much of an attempt to play it, but I sat down and I began to play out the melody. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal thy soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. There's no one like Jesus, friends. There's no one or nothing that can replace Jesus. Nobody can take his place. Nobody can fill his role, friends. Nobody can be to us what he is to us. Amen? Well, you say, what is he to us, Pastor? Well, he's everything. I remember a preacher was preaching one time in a revival, and I heard him make a statement. He was referring to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he referred to the Father as the great architect, and the Holy Spirit as the great administrator that brought it all to pass. You know how the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water and the earth came into form? So the Father was the great architect. The Holy Spirit is the great administrator. And he said, and Jesus is. Everybody looked at him kind of funny, like you're looking at me right now. Well, Jesus is what? Let me tell you what Jesus is. He's whatever you need him to be. Hallelujah. In any area of life, whatever you need, you're going to find that need met in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says through him, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Anything that pertains to life whatsoever, God's made provision for it through Jesus Christ. Now, how many glad that Jesus is a one-stop shop? It's not Walmart. Amen? Everybody thinks Walmart's trying to take over the world. Started selling dry goods. And then they got everybody up in a tizzy when they went into the grocery business. They're trying to take over the grocery world now. Then they started selling gas, trying to take over the oil industry. A monopoly, Walmart, the place you can go and get anything and everything you want. How many's found that not to be true? Well, I've got news for you, friends. God has given us a book full of promises. There are over 8,000 promises in the Bible that you can personally claim. Every one of them are based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's the foundation of God's grace, the foundation of his blessing, the foundation of his favor in our lives. He's provided all things for us. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How many likes that? Everybody say all things. You don't have to go to Jesus and then go to Hollywood. You don't have to go to Jesus and go to Wall Street. Get it out there. It must have been a hiccup on Wall Street right there. You don't have to go to Jesus in anywhere else, because you can go to Jesus, friends, and you find complete fullness, completeness, total satisfaction. He will slake the thirst in your soul. He'll feed the hunger in your heart, and he'll give you a satisfying portion where you'll never thirst again. You believe that? Give him a praise. Hallelujah. No one can take his place. No one can fill his role. Nobody can do for us what Jesus can do for us. I used to sing an old song, and it's really kind of almost rockabilly. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. I don't have a choir one here. Not one. You guys totally left me hanging on that. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. All right, give him praise. Let's sing that together. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Come on, give him some praise in this place. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. I remember church services, we sing that song for 30 minutes solid. And people walk around the church, just march around the church singing it. It'd be kind of difficult to march around this building the way it's shaped. There's no blank back wall to do it. I walk around it when I pray, but I do like a horseshoe sort of thing. But praise God for our Lord. Amen. It's no wonder that Peter said, therefore to you who believe, he is precious. Hallelujah. Let me get you to stand. Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord some glory. Just in your heart, just give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had several thoughts in my mind to, as far as songs to sing, but what I want to do is I want to encourage you to come down toward the front. Just kind of move toward the front. Let's just take a moment or two and worship. Praise team, I want you to bolt your way down front and grab your instruments. We're just going to sing another chorus or two. We're going to be wrapped up for the day. But let's just take this thought of the preciousness of our Lord. The old song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, Lead Me On. Let's just give him glory for how precious and how wonderful. Has he been endeared by the Holy Spirit to your heart? Is he a reality to you that you can wax emotional like Peter did and speak with such emotional language? Just lavish your love upon him. If you'd like to come, these altars are open. We're not going to lay hands on anyone today unless the Lord prompts, but we want you to come and feel free to worship. Come on, let's lift up the Lord and give him his due. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Which one are we doing? All right.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing blood. Now all I know, your forgiveness and cross.
thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came, and you gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb. He's seated on the throne.
Exact sentiment of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't know this Jesus, you can know him before you leave this building today. He stands at your heart's door and he knocks and he asks to be invited in. He gives you that opportunity to open the door of your heart. He will not push himself. He will not force himself in, but he makes himself available. I encourage you, if you've not done it, avail yourself of that opportunity today. Open your heart. Make Jesus your Lord. Make him your Savior. And then you too will be like all others who have believed. You'll find out the preciousness of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that when you gave Jesus, you gave your best. There's nothing that could have been improved upon the gift. Your word declares it to be the unspeakable gift, the indescribable gift, the unutterable gift. There's no way that we can describe it. There's no way we can adequately define it. Our feeble attempts today fall so short, God. But we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that makes these truths a reality in our hearts. May we leave this place with a powerful sense of the preciousness of Jesus. And may that preciousness in our heart be lend a fragrance to the air wherever we go, to the atmosphere wherever we find ourselves today. May that atmosphere of that loving worship, that adoration, that deep love and appreciation for the preciousness of Jesus, let it impact those around us in his precious name. Amen. Now, before you leave, let me make a couple of quick announcements. We do have outreach next Saturday, Servant Evangelism. I'll need a few people here at 10 o'clock to put some things together. 10:30, we'll be meeting right by the Salvation Army next door. We've done it there many, many times. We're going to give about 600 hot dogs away. How many know what next Saturday is in Miller Park? It's the day in the park put on by the Junior League. There'll be thousands of people out there milling around the park, and we're going to sit right up on Park Street. We're going to give around 600 hot dogs away, free, sodas free, drinks. There'll be a bottle of water out there, and we'll all be wearing our Love and Truth Church shirts. You don't have to have one to come and be a part of it. But we're going to invite folks to come out the very next morning and hear Gerald Mahan. Now, Gerald will be here Sunday for the 10:30 service. Those of you that have never met Gerald, what a testimony. For 19 years, a homeless man. He and his childhood sweetheart were married. He went to Vietnam, got bound on drugs, spent the next 19 years as a homeless man in D.C. 9 of them, he actually lived in broken down, abandoned tenement houses, slept on sewer grates to keep from freezing to death in the wintertime. In and out of 7 detox centers, only to fall right back into it. The hardest drugs, crack, cocaine, heroin, everything you can imagine. But he heard the message of Jesus Christ preached. And he got into the Teen Challenge program and went through the Teen Challenge program and came out a very different man. It's been 21 years ago. Gerald has not done drugs in 21 years. Travels all over the world, preaches of the saving power of Christ. When I say all over the world, I mean literally that. He just came back from a trip. I believe it was in the Caribbean. About 30 or 35 people from the U.S. went with him. And they had over 1,100 people make professions of faith in this crusade. Can you give the Lord a praise for that? Hallelujah. Gerald will be preaching next Sunday morning. You don't want to miss hearing Gerald Mahan next Sunday morning at 10:30. He and Phyllis are two of the most delightful people you will ever meet. So make your plans, 10:30. 10:30 at the park on Saturday, 10:30 here on Sunday for our regular worship. Do want to mention we've got a picnic coming up on the 29th. It's our fall picnic. We've got B&W Park again, and we're looking forward to a great time. Their small groups are going to be kicking off on the 22nd. How many knows what the 22nd marks? The first day of my favorite time of the year, fall. First day of fall, we're going to start small groups back up. Small groups are moving from a weekly format to twice a month. We're going to go back to a twice a month format. But there are 6 different groups that are, we have sign-up sheets outside. Sister Marcia is out there. We'll be signing up this week, and we'll be signing up next week as well. We had a lot of people out today on vacation, but we're so glad for all of our college brothers and sisters kind of making up the difference here today. Let's give it up for them, each and every one. We love you guys. We love you guys. And I wanted to think I'm forgetting something. I know there's a meeting with the leadership on Tuesday, 6 o'clock, our regular monthly meeting. But keep all those things in your heart, and God bless you. Take a little time for one another. Look for somebody you don't know and introduce yourself. All right, God bless.